Here's your fair value brief for Sunday, July 19, 2026. This was a week where oil shocks and AI doubts collided, and even the safe bets took a hit. Let's break it down. Brent crude just posted its biggest weekly jump since April, up 15.9% to $88.10 a barrel, after Houthi attacks and U.S. airstrikes slowed tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. That's a choke point for about 20% of the world's oil, and the disruptions already pushing gas futures up nearly 9%. Expect to pay 10 to 15 cents more per gallon at the pump next week. Meanwhile, semiconductor stocks led a tech pullback, with the NASDAQ 100 dropping 4.1%. The trigger? China's new Kimi K3 AI model matched U.S. benchmarks in key tests, raising doubts about whether the chip sector's massive spending spree will actually pay off. NVIDIA fell 3.9%, AMD dropped 11.1%, and Marvel? Well, it's erased nearly all its 2026 gains after a 23% plunge over 2 weeks. And in crypto? Bitcoin stayed stuck near $64,500, but Ethereum climbed 3.3%. The real story, though, was off-chain. Tokenized real-world assets just hit a record $33.5 billion on-chain. That's Wall Street's blockchain adoption in action. But without clearer rules, the volatility isn't going anywhere. Now, here's the weird part. Even defensive stocks got crushed. Coca-Cola? Down 4%. Kraft Heinz? 3.2% lower. Home Depot? Off 2.6%. When snack stocks and hardware stores can't catch a bid, you know the mood is risk-off. So what's next? The big question this week is simple. Can the Fed afford to wait? Just a few days ago, traders were betting on rate cuts. Then oil spiked, bond yields jumped, and suddenly, the market's pricing in a September hike, not a cut. The 10-year Treasury yield's now at 4.57%, up 20 basis points over the past month. And if oil stays this high, it could add 3 to 5/10 of a percent to headline inflation. That puts the Fed in a no-win scenario. If they hike, mortgage rates, already at 6.55%, could hit 7, credit card APRs rise, and growth stocks get squeezed even more. If they hold, the dollar might weaken, but stubborn inflation could hurt their credibility. The wild card? This week's global inflation data. We've got CPI reports from Canada, the UK, New Zealand, and Australia, plus Friday's flash PMIs. Stronger than expected numbers could force the Fed's hand. And don't forget the European Central Bank's rate decision on Thursday. If ECB President Lagarde hints at a hike, she gives the Fed cover to stay tough. If she's dovish, the Fed might stick with its patient stance, betting oil's surge fades. Now, to the markets. Here's what to watch this week. Monday starts with Canada's CPI. Economists expect a negative 0.2% month-over-month reading, down from plus 1% last time. A softer number eases pressure on the Bank of Canada, and by extension, the federal. But if it comes in higher, that's a sign oil's spike is lifting broader prices. Tuesday, we get the UK's job market data. Another weak report could push the Bank of England toward a dovish hold. Bad for sterling, but maybe a boost for UK stocks. Wednesday brings the UK CPI. Consensus is 2.7% year-over-year, down slightly from last month. If it stays above that, the bull might delay cuts, weighing on equities and the pound. Later that night, Australia's employment report drops. A miss could spark rate cut talk from the RBA, sending the Australian dollar lower. Thursday is all about the ECB. No change is expected, but Lagarde's tone will matter. If she sounds hawkish, the euro rises, and the Fed's job gets harder. Earnings-wise, we've got Tesla, AT&T, and Intel reporting. Tesla's margins, steady or still shrinking. AT&T's wireless growth, can it keep adding subscribers? And Intel's AI shift, is its foundry business finally turning around? Then Friday, we get the first look at July's business activity with the flash PMIs. If services and manufacturing dip below 50, that's contraction territory. The soft landing narrative takes a hit. Strong numbers, though, give the Fed more room to wait. And speaking of waiting, this earnings season is putting AI spending under the microscope. Google, Tesla, Intel, and AT&T all report this week, and the question is the same. Is all this AI investment actually turning into revenue? After the chip sell-off, expectations are sky high. Now let's talk about something bigger than 1 week's moves. Why buying the haystack almost always wins. Take PayPal. Last week, shares jumped 17% after reports of a $53 billion buyout offer, a 27% premium. Most people who benefited, they didn't own PayPal directly. They held it through an S&P 500 fund, or the NASDAQ 100, or a tech ETF. When the deal broke, their shares rose too, without them having to pick the right stock. That's pooled investing, buying a diversified basket of assets instead of betting on single names. The basket either tracks an index, like Vanguard's VOO, which holds all 500 S&P companies, or follows a strategy, like high dividend growth. Here's why it works. First, fees matter a lot. Index funds often charge 0.03% or less. Active funds, average fee, 0.65%. And 85% of them underperform their benchmark over 10 years, per S&P Dow Jones. A 1% annual fee can eat up 25% of your returns over 30 years. That's why low-cost index funds, like Fidelity's FZROX with zero fees, dominate long-term performance. Even the pros agree most investors should build portfolios around index funds. But there are debates. Smart beta funds, like Rafi, weight holdings by factors like value or momentum instead of market cap. Fees are higher, and outperformance isn't guaranteed. Thematic ETFs, think ARKK for disruptive innovation or ICLN for clean energy, offer trend exposure without picking winners. But ICLN is still 40% below its 2021 peak. And then there's taxes. ETFs generally trigger fewer capital gains distributions than mutual funds, which matters in taxable accounts. So why does this matter right now? Two reasons. First, the PayPal deal and Microcosm. Most investors miss 17% single stock surges. An S&P 500 index fund gives you a piece of that gain plus exposure to 499 other companies. Second, with cash yielding 5%, the cost of stock picking rises. Index funds let you participate in the market without the guesswork. Finally, tomorrow's question to ponder. If Canada's CPI comes in above zero on Monday, against the forecast of negative 0.2%, which way would the 2-year Treasury yield likely move, and why? Start with the Bank of Canada's likely reaction, then think about how the Fed might respond. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.